When people hear the word mass, they usually think of heaviness. Something massive feels difficult to lift, difficult to move, difficult to stop. That intuition points in the right direction. But in physics, mass plays a more precise role than everyday language suggests. Mass is about resistance to change and motion. Push an empty shopping cart and it responds immediately. Load it with groceries and the same push produces a much smaller effect. Nothing about the push changed. Nothing about the floor changed. What changed was the amount of mass that had to be persuaded to move differently than it was moving before. Mass measures how strongly matter resists acceleration. This resistance appears in every situation where motion changes. Starting to move, stopping, turning, or speeding up all require effort when mass is involved. The greater the mass, the more effort is required to produce the same change. Once an object with mass is moving, it does not easily give up that motion. Once it is at rest, it does not easily begin moving. Motion demands a cause, and mass determines how large that cause must be. This already tells us something important. Mass does not describe how fast something moves. Two objects can travel side by side at the same speed and respond very differently when pushed. Mass cares about change, not motion itself. Now gravity enters the picture, and everyday experience begins to blur ideas together. On Earth, objects with more mass feel heavier because gravity pulls on mass. More mass means a stronger gravitational pull, which we experience as greater weight. Because gravity is always present in daily life, mass and weight often get treated as the same thing. Physics keeps them distinct. Mass belongs to the object itself. Weight belongs to the interaction between that object and a gravitational field. Take the same object to the moon, and the weight decreases. The mass does not. The resistance to acceleration remains exactly the same. This separation matters because gravity is only one way mass reveals itself. There is a deeper fact hiding here. The quantity that determines how strongly gravity pulls on an object is exactly the same quantity that determines how strongly that object resists acceleration. Experiments show this equivalence with extraordinary precision. No adjustments are needed. The numbers match every time. Because of this, mass links motion and gravity into a single concept. It sets the scale for how objects respond to forces and how they influence one another. Wherever mass appears, it defines how difficult change will be. Without announcing itself, mass shapes how the physical world behaves. And once you accept that mass measures resistance to change, the picture widens in an unexpected way. Up to now, mass has sounded like a property objects carry around with them, something internal, something local. But mass does more than resist acceleration. It also participates in the structure of the universe itself. To see this, forget objects for a moment and think about motion in empty space. If there were no mass anywhere, space and time would behave like a simple grid. Straight lines would stay straight. Clocks would tick the same way everywhere. Motion would follow predictable paths, unless something intervened. Introduce mass, and that picture no longer holds. Mass affects how objects move, not only by responding to forces, but by influencing the very arena in which motion takes place. In modern physics, space and time are not separate backgrounds where events happen. They are joined into a single structure called space-time, and mass plays a central role in how that structure behaves. This sounds abstract, so let's ground it. Imagine two nearby clocks, one placed on the ground and one lifted higher. Even before worrying about motion, they do not measure time the same way. The clock closer to a massive object runs differently from the one farther away. This difference is not a malfunction, it is a physical effect. Time itself depends on the presence of mass. The same happens with distance. Straight paths bend near massive objects. Light, which has no mass of its own, still follows curved routes when it passes near large masses.
Nothing pushes it sideways. It simply follows the geometry shaped by mass. Mass does not pull on space and time like a hand tugging on fabric. Instead, mass and energy determine how space-time is arranged, and objects move according to that arrangement. Motion follows the available geometry. This is why gravity looks the way it does. Rather than thinking of gravity as a force acting at a distance, physics treats it as the result of mass influencing space-time and objects moving accordingly. A planet orbiting a star is not being dragged around by an invisible tether. It is following the most natural path available in the space-time shaped by the star's mass.
This explains something that once seemed mysterious. Objects fall at the same rate, regardless of their mass, as long as other effects are negligible. The resistance to acceleration and the gravitational influence scale together. Because of that balance, motion under gravity becomes independent of the object's own mass. Mass shapes space-time. Objects respond to space-time. The result is what we experience as gravity. Now pause and connect this back to the earlier idea of resistance to change. An object with mass resists changes in motion. Space-time with mass resists being arranged in a flat, uniform way. In both cases, mass introduces rigidity. It sets how difficult it is for motion and geometry to behave differently than they already do. This brings us to an important point that often causes confusion. Mass is not the same as energy, but they are closely related. Energy contributes to space-time in much the same way mass does. Heat, motion, and radiation all influence space-time, though mass tends to dominate in everyday situations because it is concentrated. That famous equation connecting mass and energy is not about explosions or technology. It is a statement that mass is one way energy can exist, and that energy, in any form, participates in shaping space-time. So mass is no longer just about heaviness or resistance. It becomes part of the reason space and time behave the way they do. At this stage, it helps to let go of the idea that space-time is a thing sitting underneath the universe. It behaves more like a set of relationships, how distances are measured, how durations pass, how paths are traced. Mass influences those relationships directly, and this influence is not optional. You cannot turn it off. Any amount of mass, no matter how small, contributes. The effects only become noticeable when the mass is large or concentrated enough, but the rule applies everywhere. What began as a measure of how hard it is to push something now reveals itself as a measure of how strongly matter participates in the structure of reality. Mass tells space-time how to behave, and space-time tells matter how to move. Once you see that connection, mass stops being a simple property of objects and becomes a key player in the architecture of the universe. And once mass is seen as something that participates in space-time itself, another question becomes unavoidable. Where does mass come from? Up to this point, mass has behaved like a given. Objects have it. It resists acceleration. It influences space-time. But physics does not stop at description. It keeps asking, what mechanisms make those descriptions true? Here is the surprising answer. Most of the mass you encounter every day does not come from the intrinsic mass of particles. Take a proton, one of the building blocks of atomic nuclei. It is made of quarks, and quarks do have mass. But if you add up the masses of the quarks inside a proton, you get only a small fraction of the proton's total mass. The majority comes from something else entirely. It comes from energy. Inside the proton, quarks move at enormous speeds and interact through strong forces. The energy stored in that motion and interaction contributes to the proton's mass. According to the rules of physics, energy and mass are deeply linked, so confined energy shows up as mass. This means that much of what you call matter is energy held in place by interactions. Mass, in practice, measures how much energy is tied up in a system in a way that resists change.
This idea scales upward. The mass of everyday objects comes largely from the mass of protons and neutrons, which themselves owe most of their mass to internal energy. Even solidity, the feeling that objects are rigid and substantial, comes from electromagnetic interactions between atoms, not from mass alone. Mass is not a simple substance filling space. It is an expression of how energy is organized and constrained. Now, this leads directly to another common confusion. If energy can appear as mass, and mass influences space-time, does that mean mass and energy are the same thing? Not exactly. They are different ways of describing the same physical content, depending on context. When energy is localized and behaves like inertia, we describe it as mass. When it moves freely or spreads, we describe it as energy. The distinction is practical, not fundamental. This explains why light, which has no mass, still carries energy and momentum and can influence space-time. It does not resist acceleration in the same way matter does, but it still participates in the overall structure. Mass becomes a special case, energy that is bound in such a way that it resists changes in motion and position.
Now return to inertia, the resistance to acceleration that started this discussion. In classical physics, inertia simply exists. Objects resist acceleration because they do. Modern physics digs deeper and asks, what gives particles that resistance in the first place? Here another piece enters the picture, fields. Particles do not exist in isolation. They exist in the presence of fields that fill space. One of these fields plays a special role in determining mass. Interaction with this field gives certain particles their intrinsic mass. Without that interaction, many particles would behave as if they were massless, moving at the speed of light. Mass, at the most basic level we know, emerges from interaction, not isolation. This reinforces a theme that keeps appearing. Mass is relational. It expresses how strongly something is tied into the rest of the physical world. The more tightly energy is bound, or the more strongly a particle interacts with relevant fields, the more mass it exhibits. Mass is not a label attached to matter. It is a measure of participation. Now consider how this affects motion at very high speeds. As objects move faster, changing their motion becomes increasingly difficult. Adding the same amount of energy produces smaller changes in speed. This is not because the object is gaining mass in a literal sense, but because space-time itself imposes limits on how motion can change. The resistance to acceleration increases as speed approaches the maximum allowed speed. Once again, mass and space-time work together. What begins as inertia at low speeds becomes a geometric constraint at high speeds. This shows that mass is deeply connected to limits. Limits on acceleration, limits on energy concentration, limits on how space-time responds, and limits are often where understanding becomes sharpest. Now bring all of this back to scale. At small scales, mass arises from particle interactions and confined energy. At human scales, it governs how objects respond to forces and gravity. At cosmic scales, it shapes space-time and determines how galaxies form, how stars orbit, and how light travels across the universe. The same concept applies everywhere, only the language changes. This universality is what makes mass such a powerful idea. It appears in mechanics, thermodynamics, quantum theory, and relativity without changing its role. The equations look different, but the meaning persists. Mass measures how strongly something resists change and how strongly it influences the structure around it. And this brings us to an important correction to everyday intuition. Mass does not make things want to stay still. Objects do not prefer rest. Motion and rest are relative concepts. What mass does is resist changes in motion, regardless of the current state. Rest and uniform motion are treated the same by physics. This is why astronauts floating in space still have mass. They are weightless, not massless. They resist being pushed just as much as they would on Earth. The absence of weight does not remove inertia.
Weight is local, mass is universal. Once this distinction is fully absorbed, many confusions dissolve. Falling objects, orbiting planets, floating astronauts, and bending light all follow from the same idea applied in different settings. Mass becomes less mysterious, not more. It is no longer a substance hidden inside matter. It is a measure of how matter and energy respond to the rules of motion and space-time. And with that understanding in place, mass stops being a word you memorize and becomes a concept you can use, one that explains why the universe reacts the way it does whenever anything tries to change. And at this point, mass can finally be treated as a fully connected idea rather than a collection of separate facts. Mass is not just resistance to acceleration. It is not just what gravity acts on. It is not just a number listed next to particles in a table. Mass is the quantity that ties together motion, gravity, energy, and space-time into a single framework that works at every scale we can test. When physicists use mass in an equation, they are not inserting a vague property. They are specifying how strongly a system resists changes in motion, how much it contributes to space-time geometry, and how much energy is locked into a form that behaves inertially. One number plays all of these roles because experiments show they are inseparable. This is why mass appears in so many places without changing meaning. In mechanics, it sets how force produces acceleration. In gravity, it determines how objects influence one another's motion. In relativity, it contributes to how space-time is shaped. In particle physics, it reflects how particles interact with underlying fields. Different theories, same role.
Mass is consistent across contexts. That consistency allows physicists to trust it. When calculations involving mass agree across experiments as different as particle collisions, planetary motion, and atomic measurements, the concept earns its place as fundamental. It also explains why mass cannot be defined in isolation. You cannot measure mass without interaction. You measure it by pushing, pulling, colliding, orbiting, or observing motion under gravity. Mass reveals itself only through relationships. It is not a private attribute of an object. It is how that object participates in physical processes. This relational nature becomes especially clear when mass is absent. Particles with no mass still carry energy and momentum, but they do not resist acceleration in the same way. They cannot be brought to rest. Their behavior marks the boundary of what mass changes. Comparing massive and massless systems highlights exactly what mass contributes and what it does not. Mass introduces inertia. Mass introduces gravitational influence. Mass introduces limits on how motion responds to added energy. Remove mass and those features disappear. At the same time, mass does not act alone. Energy, momentum, and space-time geometry work together. No single concept explains everything. Mass matters because it connects these ideas in a way that remains valid whether you are studying atoms, engines, planets, or galaxies. This is also why mass is not something physics expects to be replaced or discarded. Future theories may explain its origin more deeply or describe it in new language, but they will still need a quantity that plays the same role. Whatever name it goes by, it will have to resist acceleration, contribute to gravity, and participate in space-time. Those requirements are not optional. They come directly from observation. So when someone understands mass in physics, they are not just learning a definition. They are learning how physicists think about change. They learn why motion responds the way it does, why gravity behaves universally, and why energy cannot be rearranged without consequences. Mass becomes a practical tool for reasoning.
It allows you to explain why heavy and light objects respond differently to forces, why astronauts float yet still resist pushes, why stars bend the paths of light, and why most of the matter around you owes its mass to energy bound by interactions rather than to tiny particles acting alone. Once mass is understood this way, it stops being confusing. It becomes predictable. It becomes something you can explain without memorizing phrases or relying on vague analogies. Mass is how physics keeps track of resistance to change and influence on space-time, using one quantity that works everywhere it is applied. And that is why mass remains one of the central concepts in physics, not because it is mysterious, but because it is reliable.